Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Through the Wealth Lens. I'm financial advisor Max Groscher, joined with my teammate and fellow advisor, Hannes Groscher of UBS's The New York International Group. We're broadcasting today from UBS's studios here in New York City. Today we have another topic that should be of great intrigue to those involved in the world of sports and entertainment. As many of us can imagine, the life of a college athlete can be thrilling, rewarding, and exhausting all at the same time. The stakes for those that play at the highest collegiate levels have increased even more than where they were just several years ago, with the emergence of NIL and the ability to be compensated while playing in college, adding to the potential millions awaiting players once they make it to the pros. Most involved in the world of professional sports have heard of players insuring themselves in the event of an injury that can significantly affect career earnings and completely alter futures. However, how do star college athletes and the programs they represent protect all parties involved in this case? Lucky for our audience listening today, we have two fellow UBS advisors, former college athletes themselves, Bryant Sharifs and Christian Foxen of Century Wealth Partners out of New Haven, Connecticut, to break down where risk management for college athletic programs and their players are heading and what advisors like us sitting here today plan on doing to help all involved. Bryant and Christian, thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Appreciate you having us. Really excited.
How have we gotten to the current stage of college athletics, and why has this brought to light the need for risk management for both the schools and the players?
I appreciate the question, and for the sake of any listeners out there, you know, we're going to try to make the subject of injuries and insurance an interesting one in applying it to college sports. But if you look over the last 10 years, what's really changed is legislation. From if you think about the college football video game, you know, it's one that's very familiar for me and my childhood. It had a formative impact on how I perceived the game of football, but also my desires to wanting to be in the game. Mm-hmm. And then ironically, you know, it was time to be in the game and, you know, they take it off the shelves, but that, you know, that game, if we're looking from a micro perspective, that game says it all, because that game was taken off the shelves because of the rulings around antitrust issues, name, image, and likeness, utilizing the name, image, and likeness of the players in the game for, you know, profits that those players did not see. So now, fast forward 10 years through NIL legislation, through a number of settlement discussions, congressional hearings. Now we're in a landscape that's resource dependent, and there's a correlation with sports and academic institutional success balance sheet wise. Complicated way of saying, you know, the landscape has grown a ton. The value of the landscape at large has grown. At the individual level, the value of individual student athletes is tangible now. And the discussion around worst case scenario is, it's different than it's ever been.
Yeah, and being two former athletes, having that responsibility of taking care of the next generation, especially when, you know, they're being given this opportunity that we see such a huge value in, maybe because, you know, we never had that opportunity to earn based off of our image and likeness. So being able to look back and give them some insight as to what that plan B or what that next level of your life could look like, and preparing for that maybe while you're still in school. Because again, it is so important to plan ahead. It's so important to do those kinds of things because, you know, like both of us, like all of us, you know, you never know when you could get hurt. You never know when something can be taken from you. So to have kind of stops in place, and I make the joke with Brian all the time, you know, we're in the flooring business. We are in the business of raising that floor so that there isn't a big drop-off if plan A doesn't work, which of course we all want to work. You know, everybody does. But we want to raise that floor so that in case plan A doesn't work, you're still covered.
I mean, I think it's a really complex topic, right? And as we know, we do financial education for athletes. Like, you know, we have to teach them about checkbooks and paying taxes and this and that. To talk about insurance, it's a very complicated topic. So I think there's a lot of education that has to be, you know, done in that area. So you guys are doing it, right?
I think the earlier that we can educate them, the better, right? Yeah. I mean, going just on the topic of injuries and insurance, I mean, when I was a junior in high school, I had a knee injury and sat out, you know, a big portion of the recruiting year. So, like, even having resources like this back in the day when, you know, I was prepping for my future would have been great to have. And now, you know, with NIL and where kind of the landscape is going for high school and college sports, it's really just evolved to a different point. So
I will say the historical limits that I referenced, just for any listeners out there, I do want to stress that those limitations do not exist anymore. And we're not aware of any universities that are fully funding injury insurance protections for their athletes. And we can understand the stress on balance sheet line items. But there's a larger discussion to be had, we believe. And we wanna spread some awareness on the fact that yes, there are ways to protect yourself from injury. Yes, there are ways to protect yourself from injuries that you can recover from and continue participating in your sport from. But when we hear from administrators or, you know, board members of universities, there is a huge disconnect. And that's why I almost want to put this discussion in a team meeting room context, because there's a lot of noise, a lot of vested interests in trying to take advantage of the ever-shifting landscape. We see the protection of student athletes being overlooked often, and that could be as simple as access to financial resources, you know, financial literacy, educational, you know, life education that you need.
In general, it's one of the most important pieces because it's just a major part of wealth protection. So it's really something that, you know, cannot be ignored at this stage and, you know, even before they get to these massive contracts.
That's right. And preparing, you know, when you're being recruited and understanding what the school can and can't provide for you can make a difference in the school that you pick. You know, if you have one school that's, you know, vowed to pay for, you know, the premium of your policy and one school that hasn't, you know, promise to do that, you know, maybe as, you know, an 18-year-old, I don't really understand what that means, but maybe I have an advisor, you know, someone in my corner that does, that will say, hey, you should go to this school, you know, maybe over that school because of that. And there are other factors that go into it as well. But, you know, having the right people in your corner as well is so important. And I know, you know, a lot of these kids now have agents that you hope have their best interests, the athlete's best interest in mind or the client's best interest in mind. But you don't truly know. You never know. You know, they could be, putting up the premium for their insurance policy, knowing that they're going to get, you know, a little bit extra on the back end, which is, you know, not the worst thing in the world because at least the player gets covered. But, you know, if the university can pay for it and the university can view it as a lens of, the ability to retain these athletes, attract these athletes, especially now that, you know, the transfer portal has become so crazy these days with the sheer numbers that are entering, you know, on a seasonal basis. Having that extra tool in their toolbox can help the universities as well. You know, it's not, you know, obviously it's about player empowerment and wanting the players to get covered, but the schools can utilize it to their advantage as well as reduce the liability that they all have. You know, we think that, you know, it's not just going to be the schools that have all of the money. Then I know that there's, you know, budgetary issues, you know, and different things like that. But, you know, if they can afford to pay for it, and if you have, if they have the ability to do so, you know, we think that they should, because these athletes are, you know, putting their bodies, sometimes, you know, in some instances, their lives on the line, you know, for their university and for the plan A pursuit of going to the next level. And again, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, you got to play every down like it's your last down, every game, you know, like it's your last game. So to have the, you know, right people in your corner to advise and help you make smart decisions on the front end while you are making, you know, this kind of money these days is super important.
Which actually, I think, let's just switch perspective for a second there, because now we've talked about protecting the student athletes. Mm-hmm. You've talked about the changing landscape and clearly the role for athletic departments and their directors, administrators has changed, right? So how can we bring these two together? What are the kind of the hurdles that these athletic departments and directors face, and how can we help them sort of like, you know, close the gap, right? So they can protect the players. They don't blow their budget. It's clearly an evolving, but tell me your thoughts on that.
Best practices for both sides involved.
Administrators are not defining what's in the box anymore. They're now intermediaries in many cases. And we've talked with administrators that are wondering why some of their student athletes' agents haven't filed their taxes.
Yeah.
We've talked with administrators that have helped student athletes file their taxes. And
that's
right,
not in their job description.
It's not in their job description. So, all right, administrative.
Even with professional athletes, you know, they sign their first contract, get their first money in November, come tax time, they go, what do you mean I have to pay taxes?
Yeah.
Because they've never paid taxes before.
Yeah.
I don't get to keep this full amount.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
Uncle Sam.
And it varies based on where I play. I mean, it's.
Yes. There are two things I just want to highlight. And it's been the constant for us the last few years. Conference commissioners have called for it repeatedly, as have university presidents, figures in the landscape. There's got to be scalable uniformity to be able to protect. If we're talking about the product that is collegiate athletics that so many are tied to, whether they want to admit it or not, but so many have a passion for, and collectives and resources around universities can certainly be a help.
Yeah, so this has been a great conversation. I mean, we could spend hours talking about this. Are there any last thoughts that you want to share with us in the audience?
We sure could. We could spend days talking about it. But put simply, you know, through the last few years, you know, it's really been an eye opener to us, and we hope that, you know, collectively, it's an eye opener to a number of athletes, administrators, you know, anyone in the ecosystem or that cares about collegiate athletics, you know, that there are a lot of resources, you know. We know we have access to a lot of resources, but look, there are needs out there. You know, we have a vested interest in helping. You know, and a lot of times that's just introducing somebody that somebody didn't know before.
Yeah, and you know, we've been in the locker room. We understand what it's like to be in that space, to be giving your all to the, you know, the sport that you want to play, and you know. I guess the message would be that there are people out there that do understand you, that do kind of know what you're going through and what you definitely need moving forward, because, you know, with this ever-changing landscape, you know, it's good to have people on your side that are keeping up with it, that, you know, have your best interests at heart. And to come from, you know, people that were former athletes, and, you know, our network has expanded to, you know, many other former athletes as well that, you know, we haven't specifically mentioned. But, you know, at the end of the day, all we're trying to do is help. And no matter what that means, you know, that's the goal.
This is our avenue.
Yep.
You know, this is our avenue to help. And And there are a lot of different ways, but we're not, you know, we're helping those that want to be helped. Mm-hmm. And we believe that, you know, collectively, and this is inclusive, you know, we believe we can make a positive difference. And, you know, that's what we're about.
Well, thanks, Brian and Christian, for taking the time to come down here from New Haven. I know it's a two-hour train ride,
yeah.
but it's a topic that we're all really super passionate about, protecting athletes, entertainers, trying to educate them.
From our studio in New York, thanks for joining us today for another episode of Through the Wealth Lens. I'm Max Groscher. See you later.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.